Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Welcome to our show. And hey, episode 472. That's a whole lot of talking as we share the truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today her strong. That's right, strong. This is such a great show. And you know, I'm a nutcase about strength training. So I'm going to be just doing the happy dance during the entire episode. Before we begin, just know that this episode is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y. Now, these are vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. They've got a special gift for women, the new award-winning Her Life Stage products. And they provide support for the menstrual years, including PMS, ouch, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. Yeah, it's called the hormonal journey. And it's an integrative, holistic approach to having a woman's back throughout her entire life. So to learn more about her life stages, run on over to your local health food store or check it out at solaray.com, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y.com. Use promo code HER20 for 20% off. You'll be glad you did. All right, now here's your first reminder to click on iTunes to rate and review the show, because honestly, we just sit around waiting all day long for your feedback. Here at the Her Podcast team, we just love to hear from you. So make sure to hit the iTunes after the show, rate and review. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
All right, ladies, flex those biceps. Let's do it. Flex the biceps. Make it happen here. Woohoo! All right. So you know we're going to be talking about strength training. And I was just discussing all of this with my wonderful colleague, Maddie Dykewald. I'm quoted throughout her book on all things women's health and back and forth. She has a brand new book that just came out, and we just did a podcast on it, Ageless Aging. She also interviewed Carolyn Drury, and she is someone who is really well versed and certified in all things keeping women strong throughout their life. And she is the founder of the Beyond Before and After app, which she'll tell us all about. Like, what is this before and after thing? Ew, those before and after pictures are all over social media. It's like, oh my God, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Who knows? It's all such a mess. Carolyn, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so delighted to be here. It is so nice to meet you. I would say in person, but kind of not, but virtually. It's a real pleasure. Thank you.
All right. So you're hailing from where?
Yeah, I'm in Canada. I am in what they call the heartbeat of Canada, which is Winnipeg, Manitoba. And for all the Americans, it's friendly, you know, we call it Northern North Dakota, just to give it, you know, some geographical reference. We're just right above North Dakota.
In other words, you're freezing your ass off most of the time.
About 8 to 9 months out of the year, you will die if you stay outside too long. But, you know, you bundle up.
But other than that, you're having a really swell time over there.
It's great.
Well, this is all good. So how did you get into this whole issue of strength training?
It was during COVID where I got into it in earnest. I've been an on again, off again, strength trainer, trying to be healthy person, you know, throughout my adult life. I'm 43 now. And during COVID, you know, we were locked down in Canada for a lot longer than you all were in the States. And in the first lockdowns in March of 2020, I was in an 800 square foot condo in Toronto, Ontario, where I used to live. And they locked everything down. They said it was going to be 2 weeks. And my husband, who's actually very, very good at math, was looking at all the statistics and was like, wait, no, how they're dealing with this in relation. He was just putting all the pieces together. He's like, this is going to be 2 years. We're going to be locked down for 2 years. And he was right. And in that moment, so leading up to that, though, you know, in those first couple of days, we had been doing all the things that other people were joking about online. I was, you know, eating an entire pizza every night, drinking a bottle of wine every night and thinking, oh, I'm kind of on vacation. This is funny, whatever. And in that moment when he said, we'll be locked down for 2 years, I got a flash of myself 40 pounds heavier 2 years from now, from that moment. And I was mortified.
Well, you know what was interesting? The actual statistics were bearing you out on that one. And that is, if you were, you know, kind of overweight, just, you know, I mean, the grand majority of people are overweight. I mean, like, you and I are like some kind of freaks or something now, because, but the grand majority of people are overweight. And the average amount of weight that people gained, if they were just sort of, you know, the usual 5 to extra 10 pounds or so, was close to 30 pounds. Now, if you were already obese, then you gained at minimum an extra 50 plus pounds on top of the obesity itself. So to your point, I think in the beginning, everyone thought it was some kind of, you know, fun time and, you know, we'll all just, you know, do our computers from our couches and beds and, you know, God knows what else, only to find out this damn thing was not ending anytime soon.
Exactly.
Pretty awful. So then what did you do?
Yeah. So my husband then said to me, he said, if we cannot get ourselves in the best shape ever, when literally every excuse has been locked away from us, then there is nobody to blame but ourselves, because we both looked at each other and we were like, what are we going to do about? And in that moment, I got the gift, and I call it a gift, of radical accountability. Radical accountability, which is something that, you know, I work with my clients to help them achieve. But in that moment, it was a flash of light and I just started. It was imperfect, but I knew that I could not do what I was doing because I saw myself 40 pounds heavier. I saw all of the medical issues that would have come with that. And I felt the self-loathing that would have come with that as well. And I was just, I completely rejected that idea. And I just started. There was a supplement company that I really loved that's based in the States, and they were starting an 8-week challenge the Monday after. And I grabbed onto that 8-week challenge. They had home workouts. I did the home workouts, and then I did like sort of run walking every day. And I just started. It was imperfect. I didn't know really about macros or macronutrition or healthy nutrition. Like, it was such a mess to me. So I just simplified it. I said, Caroline, you just got to make this as simple as possible and just start.
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
What was your profession? What were you doing?
Yeah, I was the chief of staff for a group of 6 film companies in Toronto.
Oh.
So I had a job. I had a job. So that's another thing. You know, I had to balance it out with working 14 hours a day. I mean, taking the commute out of it at that point really helped, but I still had incredible demands on me. I have a family, I have a husband, you know, a stepdaughter that was living with us, but I completely took accountability for myself in that process. And that was actually incredibly liberating. It was a liberating thing. And yeah. And then I made such changes to my physique in that time. I was posting the workouts online just to stay accountable, because I was starting to form a little online community, which I didn't know I needed. I had rejected online communities before, but it actually was really helpful for me. And if I didn't do the workout, I didn't have anything to post. And I didn't have any of my friends to celebrate if I didn't post. So it all kind of flowed in together. And then people just started asking me, how did you do what you did? And I started to feel very uncomfortable answering questions. So I was like, well, maybe I'll get a certification that will make me legitimate. And so I got a, you know, personal training certificate, and then I started coaching, and then the coaching demand got so great, which helped me leave my corporate job. And then my coaching demand got so great, which led me to the app, because I was waitlisting woman after woman after woman, and I couldn't stomach making another woman wait to start her journey. So that was the birth of the app.
So what a beautiful evolution over time. You know, it's basically you made lemonade from lemons. So the lemons were the lockdown and the lemonade was what you decided to do. So when one door closes, literally, many more open up, to say the least. Tell us what you mean by this before after.
So along the journey of becoming a coach and helping women build muscle, reboot their mindset, you know, get themselves back. And for me and the women that I coach, it's strength training is the way in. It's revolutionary for them. But like you said, there are these before and after photos. And for me, they're part of my marketing. I try to do them really tastefully. My Instagram page is not bombarded with them because I think they have a time and a place. And I started getting questions from women into my Instagram DMs. And I love the women that follow me because they are so smart and they ask the best questions. And this one woman said, "Caroline, I love your before and after photos of your clients. They're so inspiring. What happens beyond that though? What happens after that? Because we think that there's this magical bit of time where someone has a before and they're unhealthy and then they have an after and they're healthy and that's it. And they ride off into the sunset. Well, actually that's like the least interesting part of it to me. It's what the strength gives the woman, how it reshapes her mind, how it reshapes how she is in her family, how it reshapes the life that she leads, how her relationships begin to blossom, how marriages become healthier, how a woman that couldn't run with her grandkids can run with her grandkids. That's the interesting stuff to me. The strength training is just the way in to a fuller life and obviously many, many, many health benefits. So that's why I called the app Beyond Before and After, because I am really wanting to take the intimidation out of strength training. There are programs for women that want to work with a barbell in a gym or just dumbbells at home. It doesn't matter. I want to take the intimidation. I want to show you how to do it well. I want to show you how to not do it wrong. I'm going to give you a community. And let's just take the intimidation out of it so that you can live your life, because we only have so much time. So let's make this as good as we can make it. And there's a whole other thing waiting for you on the other side of this unhealthiness or this unease you're feeling in your body.
You know, it was really interesting when I saw that you had this whole thrust about beyond the before and after thing. One of the challenges I see is the fact that our world is different now. So in the past, you know, when I wrote Body for Life for Women, and, you know, we did this before after thing, obviously there was a lot of that. But one of the things I was most interested in is, what did they look like 2 years later, 5 years later, 7 years later? I mean, when I say that, the question is, what was sustainable? And so the pictures that we had involved women when they were not so great. They were sort of beginning this journey and they had kind of let themselves go and all the rest of it. And then what happened when they actually reached some kind of an optimal body composition? And then we flipped back and circled back years later, and the majority of them were still holding on to it. And the reason why is because, to your point, the strength training itself opened up all the doors. Once you finish working out in the gym or wherever you do it, you feel like you could walk into a room, you know, with your chest thrust out and you're like, hey, you know, I'm bad. I'm real badass. You just have a better sense of who you are. So that opens up 28 more doors. And then the doors just keep flapping open. And next thing you know, you've got yourself a foundation for a brand new world here. Now, the challenge, when I wrote that book, it came out about a little over 15 years ago or so, or whatever it was. All right, world's different now. I know you could tell me what's going on in Canada, but in the United States, it is stated that if things keep going the way they're going, and lockdown did not help, in terms of obesity, the mass majority of Americans now are overweight already. And by the year 2030, which is 6 years from now, it is predicted that the majority of USA adults will be obese. So this before after thing starts getting a little funky here, because if you've got an extra 50 to 75 pounds on board, or plus, right? I mean, what does that after picture even look like? How do you start, you know, rejiggering that? And the reason why I'm asking is because I know for a fact that a lot of women, I'm only going to talk to women, a lot of women feel hopeless. and helpless about this whole thing. They're like, you know, why even try? Because I have so far to go and I'll never even get within spitting distance of looking like what I'd like to look like if I had an after picture. So how do you address this issue, Caroline?
Yeah. So when I take women on, I like to say, I mean, a fat loss journey or fat loss phase, I'm very particular about the language I use around that, that dieting cannot last forever. It has to be a phase and then it's got to end at some point. So when I take a woman on, or just a body recomposition, maybe it's not, you know, a true deficit, it's just a body recomposition. The woman that that woman is going to become, because they're coming to me for a different approach than they've done. They've done the diets, they've done the keto, the intermittent, blah, 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 like you name it, they've done it. Dieting for women is a currency. Being on a diet, it's like, what diet are you on? Oh, I'm trying this diet. I'm doing this diet, blah, blah, blah. So part of it, I take actually the phase of that very slowly because I need their brains to catch up with their bodies because a woman that they're going to become, because they're going to be strength training, which is the most important part of this journey that they're going to go on with me. The strength training while trying to reshape their body, they haven't done before. So I tell them, I'm like, the woman that you're going to be when you get to that quote unquote after, I don't even like to call it after anymore. I like to call it my current creation. So I try not to use the after. If I ever post anything about myself online, I say where I started and my current creation. That's what I put on it. So you don't know that woman you're going to meet yet. So I'm just telling them that that's okay. It's like you're about, there's someone out there that you don't know that you're going to meet and you don't know who that person is yet. So we're going to go through this slowly and we're going to focus on behavioral changes so that when you get to the part of the journey where we're like, okay, you know what? We think that this part of the journey, the goose is cooked. Then you have the behavior changes to carry you and sustain you. Whereas, because dieting for women and being in a chronically diet, chronic caloric restriction, is actually as uncomfortable as it is for women, they will often revert back to that because it's the devil they know. Being in the non-dieting phase of this journey, I find to be the most challenging for women because they actually don't know how to put all these pieces together. So because I've gone actually quite slowly with them over time, focusing on strength training, and actually I want to loop back just quickly to something that you said before, strength training will make you feel like you can walk into a room with your chest up and like flex a muscle. You can put on that power dress and walk into that room. And it's like, it's amazing. And also the most important thing about strength training for women on this journey is that every single time a woman walks into the gym, she has an opportunity to do something that she has never done before. And that's why also strength training for any woman that's listening, and Dr. Peake, you would know about this, but focusing on progressive overload in some way. Because every day then when you walk into the gym, you have the chance to do something you've never done before. What an incredible metaphor for life. That gets me really excited. Because I look at this journey, because we're taking it step by step, we're working on behavioral changes. I am working with a woman to string together a series of thousands of small successes. So as opposed to looking at the whole big thing where a woman can't even imagine because she's got all these 50 or 60 extra pounds on her, she can't even imagine what that's going to be like at the end. But if we can string together 1,000 small successes, that's completely what this journey is made up of going from someone who's overweight or obese to being healthy. That's literally all it is. It's making one good choice after another and strength training being an unbelievable foundation for that. Because when you go into the gym, and even if you're only adding a pound a week to that squat, well, that's a pound a week more than you did before. And that's something you've never done before.
When a woman then says to you, but I'm still so fat, I'm so out of shape, how do you help them understand what to do with that? You have a woman in front of you who has at least 50 pounds, if not 75 pounds, over some kind of an average body weight, you know, by standards and whatever. And I mean, they have issues because to get them to do the strength training, the rest of it, they have to look at themselves in the mirror and they have to be able to get over so many mental hurdles of how did I allow myself to get in this mess in the first place? Women tend to do the shame, blame, guilt thing. They shame on themselves all the time. So work us through that, because it's one thing to look great, to go into the gym and to just, you know, check yourself in the mirror because you're looking at your form and you feel perfectly fine and blah, blah. But what about women who avoid mirrors? What about women who don't want to look because it is very tough? So what do you think?
Yeah, again, I really go back to what can we make you successful at? Because they only have the reference of being non-successful. Every relationship to trying to get healthy in their mind, because they're only projecting forward based on past historical data in their brain. They don't have any historical data based in their minds based on being successful. So I really work with them to, A, we're going to go at this a little bit more cerebrally at first. We're going to get your schedule organized so that you can have a clear schedule. We're going to know when are you going grocery shopping? What are you shopping for? Let's plan this out. And then we're going to get you into the gym just with these small incremental successes. And also another thing that's really important that I help women do almost immediately is get them comfortable eating out and being successful at that, because that is another thing that there's so much tension around. But to help them have these little small wins, and then the wins get bigger and bigger and bigger, then it just becomes a snowball effect. And then they start to have a little bit more belief in themselves. And at the beginning, they don't necessarily have to look at themselves a lot in the mirror. That's okay, because it can be quite, there is a lot of shame and guilt and self-loathing that comes along with that. So after the first few weeks, when we built up some of these successes, then I bring in the conversations about the two sides of self-compassion. Because self-compassion on this journey, I have found that was a big part of my own journey in developing my own strength and making sure that I have discipline in this area. Because we are experts at beating ourselves up. And especially when we're down, we'll kick ourselves even harder, because we think that having these really, really high standards for ourselves, well, at least if we don't feel like we're succeeding, well, at least if we're hard on ourselves, then we still have standards. But it doesn't really work that way, actually. I mean, I love the work that Kristen Neff has done in self-compassion, showing us both sides of self-compassion, the soft self-compassion when you need to stop beating yourself up and have a kind conversation with yourself, because that actually will motivate us more, is what a lot of her research is showing. And the flip side of that is helping us keep promises to ourselves, which is that what she talks about being the fierce self-compassion, which is when you don't want to get out of bed, no. You said you were going to get out of bed, and this is the internal dialogue. You said you were going to get out of bed and go to the gym this morning. I'm holding you to that. You need this. So that's really how I approach that, is helping that woman break it up into small successes and then pairing it with self-compassion, both flip sides of soft self-compassion, fierce self-compassion, and then it just starts to snowball.
Have you ever been out of shape?
Oh, yes.
Talk to me. Tell us your story.
When I left my parents' house, I was a big fish in a little pond where I grew up. And when I left home, I went to the big city. I was a small fish in a very big pond. My sense of self, I did not have a sense of self. And I was never diagnosed with binge eating. I never went to get help. If I actually had gotten diagnosed, I think that would have just wrecked me. Because as long as, you know, I could kind of do it in private, then it wasn't a problem. No one knew. I was perfect on the outside, perfect employee, perfect friend, perfect girlfriend, whatever. But I would hide away and binge eat, binge smoke, like anything. I would sometimes take days off of work to do this. And then I'd go and I'd clean everything up and then I'd go back and be perfect again. In my 30s, I got professional help to do that. But I did a lot of looking backwards to obviously fix why that happened, why I was like that. But now, strength training and nutrition and focusing on, you know, just always having a constructive mindset. It doesn't have to be always positive, but I really try to work to keep it constructive. That's what keeps propelling me forward, because going backwards is not an option. So yes, I have absolutely been on this journey that women are going on. I mean, at the beginning, during COVID, I lost 30, I had about 25, 30 pounds to lose. And I lost that. I didn't have much muscle. So now I weigh probably about like halfway in between because I've put on more muscle in the last 4 years. But yeah, absolutely. I know exactly so very well the inner workings of these women. That's why the self-compassion piece is so important and also making them feel strong.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's important that, you know, you lived the journey at some level as well. And it's clear that your having done that has helped you really reach out and message with these women in a big way. So that's fantastic. So what is the hardest part of what you do when you coach? What is the, oh my God, here it comes part? Because there's always a hurdle or two that faces you in a big way. What happens in your coaching that, you know, you really just have to kind of grip your seat and say, okay, we're going to do the best we can?
That's actually a great question. And I would say, because the women that come to me are generally very high performers, working to unwind the all or nothing mindset with a woman where if she's not all in, going on all cylinders and doing everything perfectly, when she has to sort of live in the gray area, because change requires a woman to really, which I experienced myself, you know, you got to really, really live in that gray area of, I don't exactly know where I'm going. Everything feels messy. My gosh, I just, you know, I had meetings pop up and everything went haywire with my nutrition. I was so busy this morning. My kid is sick. So I only got one set of everything done this morning, or I only got to do the compound movement in the gym this morning. I didn't get to do everything else. That for most women might spiral them backwards, because if they didn't get everything done, then they want to have that, I call it the effort moment, where they just say, and they, you know, I'll start again on Monday. So breaking women of the all or nothing mindset, this I'll start again on Monday mindset, I find that to be, that's the part of coaching where I really need to hold women's hands. And that was the part of my journey that I really had to dive into, because I was a perfectionist on the outside to a T. I could not handle it if things did not go exactly the way that I planned. Now I love the gray area. I'm like, what else you got for me? You know, bring it on. I find that to be exciting. But during that time, the reason why is kind of like, as a coach, and I know exactly when it's going to come, it usually comes at about the 3 to 4 week mark. Because the 3 to 4 week mark is usually when a woman, if she's working on her own, she started a new diet. At the 3 or 4 week mark is usually when they bail. And I know that super well for my dieting days too, but they've paid all this money for a coach and I'm not letting them bail. So what they need in those moments, it's different for every woman. It's actually really, really different for every woman. And one of the things I've been able to develop, thankfully, is a really good instinct for what that woman needs. I love watching people's patterns. I love listening to the language that they use. I love watching how they communicate, because it will tell you a lot. It will actually, a lot of what's not said, because I find that sometimes there's danced around language used because they feel ashamed, because they thought that having a coach was going to make them perfect and they were going to be perfect and it was all going to be great. And they start to feel it. So that's the time when I'm like, okay, how's this one going to go? But so far, I've been quite successful working women through that. And a lot of it actually is me just telling them, this is totally normal. You are so normal. And that's, I think, a job of a coach, actually, to reflect back to them. Like, so many women go through this. You are not abnormal, the fact that you're struggling. This is supposed to be messy. You're supposed to stall. And then we shake things up and let's like try something else. You know, I am never going to let anything bad happen to you during this time. I'm here to be totally on your team. So yeah, so that I think would be the most challenging part of it. Also, you know, we don't do this work in a vacuum. Luckily, most women that I work with, their husbands and families are totally on board, but dealing with shape-shifting relationships, because we all have unspoken agreements about who we are in relationships. Oh, mom is the fixer. Mom's the one who puts herself last. Mom's this, or my sister's this. So helping women not negotiate, but I'm not a family therapist, obviously, and I'm very clear to stay in my lane with that. But I've seen things that have worked in terms of, you know, open communication and things like that, you know, as women begin to change. So I would say that those two are probably the toughest to navigate. But so far, I have to say, I've watched only positive things come from all of it.
The perfection issue rears its head. And women, you know, it's interesting. Men aren't like that typically. You know, they're kind of like, what's the least amount I have to do to be able to, you know, get this thing achieved?
Yeah, totally.
The least amount. Just tell me the least amount. I'll be happy. A woman is like, I'm going to do this so perfectly that I will actually, I'll blow your mind. And then when she's halfway through it and realizes that perfection is killing her, then she just throws, you know, in the towel and says no, and blames herself. Like, you know, I couldn't do it right. No, you use the P word again, and it's perfect, right? And we don't want to have that at all because there's no role for it, and it is inappropriate. Instead, just sort of be human, and you are completely normal. I think a lot of women really feel as though they're a unicorn. No one is as screwed up as I am. I am a cluster. And so no one has ever been such a bad cluster. Surely I'm the, what are you, nuts or something? Look around you. Everybody's a cluster. It's just like a big landscape of clusters all over the place. It's basically collective humanity. Women just tend to have this, I have to do it perfectly thing in order to get some kind of a sense of satisfaction in what they do. So I think when a lot of us are working with women to get them on the right track and to course correct as we do our thing, it's about sitting them down and making certain that expectations are appropriate, that, you know, they're not just sort of like hiding away some funky expectations that will only make them feel terrible when things don't go the way they should be going and all the rest of it. It's like, you know, what were you hiding away? Come on now. Oh, I thought that after 4 weeks, I would be able to fit into my size XYZ, you know, jeans or something. And the issue is you will be in better shape. There's no question. But to predetermine that it's going to already be a certain number and that, you know, damn it, you're going to get this thing right and all the rest of it is a whole different ballgame, to say the least. So how do you do that with women to kind of basically help prevent proactively their falling down one of those rabbit holes?
Yeah. Well, from the get-go, I have a conversation with them about, well, obviously their goals, like what are their goals, you know, and that's obviously a really big question. That's like one of the first questions on my application form, because if somebody's goals are so out there, so just unrealistic, I'm like, you know, I still look at the application, but I'm like, oh, I don't know. So I generally from the get-go will always have a conversation. Obviously, when I start a new client, okay, what are the goals? Are these reasonable? If they're not, like, let's talk about them. But I generally have a good sense about that when they're already coming in. And also letting them know from the get-go that it's going to be very imperfect. I expect them to not be perfect. And that's okay. Because I think one of the biggest things that I can do as a coach is let them know that I already know that you're not going to be perfect. And some women don't believe it. They don't believe it. They're like, no, I'm going to do my best. I'm like, yeah, I want your best. But it's just not going to be perfect. And then about 3 weeks in, they start to get it. So I really try to have those conversations early and often so that they know that I know that they're human. And I always want this journey to be fun. I want this process to be fun. I want it to be as joyful as it can be. So, you know, I will bring in a little bit of humor at times too. I'm like, look, there literally have been books, thousands of books written about people exactly like you. So what makes you think, I think you used a great word, Dr. Peak, a unicorn, like you're not. Literally thousands of books have been written about exactly you. So this should be a great relief to you because, oh, you're human. You screwed it up. You're human. So I actually just like to, just discuss it early and often. And then when things don't go well, that's where I find the opportunities again to drop in that the teachings about self-compassion and how important it is. And then eventually we get to a dialogue about why they can't be compassionate with themselves.
Women doing self-compassion, I have found to be a real bear, because they'll be compassionate to the guy next door, to total strangers, to their dog, whatever. But when it comes to them, it's like, all of a sudden, like, how do you do that? Like, how do you do that? Well, it's a really good question, because women are so damn hard on themselves. I think a lot of it is, you know, cultural stuff and back and forth. So much is ass of women. And I think that it just sort of gets integrated into their brain to beat themselves up in a big way. I think that it's important to step back and to actually give them real lessons and exercises in self-compassion. When was the last time you said something nice to yourself? I mean, seriously, when you say to your best friend, you go, oh my God, you know, that dress, it's just killer on you. You look phenomenal. Or to a colleague, your presentation, you just crushed it. I mean, it was so good. You just really are such a great presenter and whatever. What do you say to yourself? You're like, oh, I look terrible in this. You know, I shouldn't have done X, Y, Z. So you're kind of shooting on yourself.
Oh, exactly. I love that. I actually, yeah, that's such a great
one. Seriously?
Yes.
And you're just kind of going to that place. So I just caution all the women out there in the Her Podcast land, you know, take a moment, hit the pause button and ask yourself, when was the last time you said some really nice things to yourself and did it in a real self-compassionate way? Like, you know something? Today was a bear. Seriously, back-to-back meetings and whatever. And look at what you were able to pull off. You go, girl. Give yourself a big damn bubble bath or something and do something not self-destructive, but something that's good, feels good, and whatever. And I actually love doing that. It took me years to learn how to do the self-compassionate thing, because as a super achiever type A plus, I was always, you know, like, you could have done it better and, you know, whatever. And instead of saying, stop, you know, you did a really damn good job, you know, congratulations, you know, rock on with your bad self. And celebrate. And celebrations can be all kinds of cool things. Some of my most favorite ones are to take my beloved German shepherds out for the world's longest walk along the lake and just sort of say, wow, I feel so good right now. And it's just such a great little celebration. It doesn't mean you go out and, you know, hit Tiffany's and, you know, spend a load. I mean, it's nice. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying there's so many beautiful ways to celebrate our little joys and our triumphs in life. What do you think?
I completely agree. And same for me, you know, the self-compassion piece was the absolute pivotal piece for this in me. Without it, I might have gotten in shape, but I joke with my clients. I'm like, if we can't help you go on this path, then you're just going to be I joke with them, like, you're just going to be a skinny, unhappy person. So do you want to be like a thin, healthy, happy person or a skinny, unhappy person? Like, what are you going to choose? And they kind of joke, you know, they laugh and they're like, well, I want to be happy. And I'm like, well, self-compassion is the piece. And I really think that us being so hard on ourselves is actually us trying to hide the feeling of shame. Because if we're hard on ourselves and we don't have to feel ashamed, but we got to figure out, well, why are we, do we need to feel ashamed about that? Or do we just, you know, maybe need some kindness, some self-compassion? I'm with you. The dialogue that goes on in my head now, so different than what it used to be. One of the isms that I have that my clients will always pass back and forth, and now it's going around my app too, is I tell people, I'm like, the first thing you can do if you're looking to, like, to build a habit of self-compassion is stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. Because that negative voice just happens on repeat. Oh God, you're not good enough. Oh, you're late again. Oh, you didn't do that well. Oh, you left all the dishes in the sink. Oh, you're not going to do well. Stop, take a breath. Be like, man, you got a lot on your plate today. here's three things I can be successful at today because, man, I'm doing the best I can. Okay, you go, girl. Like, I got your back. Telling yourself you've got your back is like one of the most powerful things you can do. You know, even just yesterday, I get up at 4 a.m. I'm in the gym at 5 a.m., but there was something, I don't know, it's been really gray and rainy here. I just could not get out of bed, which is very weird for me. And so I slept in a few hours later and I was like, oh, I don't feel like doing my training today, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, Caroline. But then what happens, and I try to, you know, talk to my clients about this too, the self-compassion voice will become automatic if you exercise it like you exercise all the rest of your muscles. It's like you're working your biceps. You can't lift, you know, a 20-pound weight until you do a lot of reps with a 5 or the 10-pound weight. But sooner than you know, like that self-compassion muscle is super strong. So I was feeling really down in the dumps that I had slept in, and which is very out of the ordinary for me. And I was, you know, negotiating in my head about doing my training, which never happens because I'm usually just up and in the gym. And I was like, Caroline, you slept in. Now you're going to get your workout done. Okay, you feel too tired to go for a run. You're going to go for a walk. There's a little bit of sunshine. You're going to go for a walk and then you're going to do your exercises. You're going to do your workout. You're going to take it one exercise at a time. That's it. And then it'll be done. And then when I did that, I was told myself that I was proud of myself. Like, you did it. And it was so automatic. I'm like, you did it. I'm so proud of you. You negotiated and you won. I'm so proud of you. So that dialogue, that was me talking to myself. And as opposed to just listening to myself and listening to that negotiation, because that negotiation and that negative voice is just a downward spiral. And it's completely within our power to change it. It just takes a little practice.
I love it. It is very clear to me that I can most definitely talk to you all day long because we're all just doing great things here. So what I'd like to do is we're kind of bringing this to a close is ask you, gift our wonderful Her podcast audience with one nugget of wisdom that they could take now and do something with today.
If you are looking to embark on a strength training journey, but you constantly start on Monday and stop again, make any other day than Monday your day one. Start on Wednesday. Wednesday is your day one. Start on Thursday. Better even yet, make Friday your day one. And then you go through the weekend strong and you begin to change that one habit. That is one of the most powerful tools I've ever seen in changing a woman's habit. So that would be the one little nugget. And also just start, because it's messy, it's sloppy, and that's okay.
You know, it's interesting. Your nugget reminds me of New Year's resolutions, which, by the way, make me crazy. You know, that's why people say, well, you know, if I didn't start January 1, well, any day, any moment of the year, any moment, any minute, any hour, it doesn't matter. That's the time to start. And so to your point, yeah, the Monday thing makes me nuts. When I hear people say, well, I'll get to it on Monday, I'm like, uh-oh, they're going there.
Yeah.
They're going to the ugly place. Yeah. And you know how long that'll last. It won't even make it through all of Monday. That's going to be a big joke. But there you have it. I think that nugget is great. Tell everyone how they can learn more about you.
You can come to my Instagram, which is carolinedrury.fit. You can come to my website, which is carolinedrury.fit, also the same. Okay. And also you can come to my app, which is beyondbeforeandafter.app.app. And just come and start. There's an incredibly supportive group of women in there. And plus you have access to me. I want to help you on this journey. I want to help women just get started.
Okay, this has just been fabulous, Caroline. I really feel like it's important for women to know that there are people like you out there to be able to help guide them in a big way and on a more practical day-by-day level, who have the certifications, who have the knowledge base, and have also lived the journey themselves, so that the whole thing ends up being you're much more authentic. And this is why, you know, people like Maddie Dykewald and myself have reached out to you, because I think that you're, you know, a great role model and also coach. So that is wonderful. So everyone, we've been talking to Caroline Drury, and we reached across that border, that northern border to Canada, to Winnipeg, to be able to find this wonderful, fabulous, extraordinary woman who is helping so many women just like you, especially if you're trying to figure out what in heaven's name to do. What are you going to do? So, Caroline, once again, thank you so much for being on the Her Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wonderful. And everyone, run on over to iTunes right now, rate and review the show, because we love your feedback. And here's another shout out to our sponsor, Solaray Vitamins. And these are vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. And remember, they have the Her Life Stages products. You've got to see these. They're award-winning, and they'll take you through your entire hormonal journey. Check them out at your local health food store. They're on Amazon. They're at Solaray.com. And if you go to Solaray.com, use promo code HER20 for 20% off. Oh boy, we love all of that. This has been another amazing Her Podcast. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, your host, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in and being such an important part of our Her Podcast community. Pop on over to drpeek.com to learn more about my work and social media. Join me every week for another Her Podcast, where you're going to hear from extraordinary, entertaining, and engaging thought leaders, just like Carolyn Drury, as we share our wit and wisdom for you to enjoy. Caroline, you're just the best. Thanks so much. And remember that your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there and seize the day. Have a great one, everyone.